Good evening, everyone. I'm Lynn Ormoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. Get this, a new study suggests that dehydration can impair a person's ability to think clearly. The research published in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise found that, among other things, dehydration led to various consequences, including impairment in tasks requiring attention, motor coordination, and grammatical reasoning and mental math. So you may have heard that experts suggest to drink 8 glasses of water a day to maintain hydration, but is it all that is required? And how do you know when you are dehydrated, even if you are not thirsty? And because there is such a thing as not being thirsty and still being dehydrated, and we will discuss all this and more on today's program. Our guest is Dr. Dana Cohen. She is integrative medicine specialist and author of the book Quench. Dr. Cohen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great, it's good to have you. Listen, just to hear that there's something as being dehydrated, even when you are not thirsty, I'm a bit surprised, and I don't think I'm the only one. A lot of people have this misconception about hydration, that maybe the indicator is your thirst level. So can you please clarify that for us?
Yes. Okay. So first of all, we can learn to ignore our thirst. And if you're thirsty, you're already overtly dehydrated, meaning it's already too far gone. In the book, we talk about this chronic sort of low-grade dehydration that affects the majority of us at multiple points in the day. So it's this low-grade dehydration that we're all being affected by because of our environments that we live in. We all live in sort of air conditioning or heat with lots of terrible lights that suck the hydration out of us. Mm. We eat processed foods. We take medications that can dehydrate us. We sit all day long and not move around. So these are all reasons why we're more dehydrated now than ever.
Very interesting. So as I mentioned earlier, this study that says that dehydration can impair our ability to think clearly, that's really surprising. I mean, we know that dehydration has an impact on our physical being, but to that extent, you know, it's a bit...
It's very interesting because we write about this in the book, too. It's definitely a known thing that brain fog is one of the first signs of dehydration. And it's important for doctors who treat kids or adults who have possible concussions. You know, when you're looking for sort of a mental status change or just the inability to think clearly. But they've also been exercising out in the heat, so you need to properly rehydrate them before you do your test for the concussion to make sure that that's not the reason that they're not thinking clearly.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Even with concussion, it could even there could be a misdiagnosis there?
Absolutely. You need to make sure that the patient is properly hydrated before you make that kind of diagnosis. And it doesn't take much. It means you just have to make sure they get back to some good electrolyte water maybe some, yeah.
So walk us through some of the impact of dehydration.
All right. So this chronic, once again, this chronic low-grade dehydration, overt dehydration, we all know that's heat stroke, that kind of thing where you need IV fluids and you're vomiting, and that's a terrible thing. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This chronic low-grade dehydration can lead to many things. So we talked about fatigue, we talked about brain fog, but joint pain, muscle aches, reflux, dry chapped lips and dry skin, bad breath can even be a symptom. But on the bigger picture, it can actually puts us at risk for major diseases. Things like certain cancers, colon cancer and bladder cancer are two very specific ones that have been shown this low-grade dehydration, it puts you at risk for getting those. But even bigger things like diabetes and Alzheimer's, this everyday low-grade dehydration puts you at risk for some of those bigger things. And then even some things like fibromyalgia, your immune system. You know, hydration is is the baseline of all homeostasis in our body. That means balance. Mm-hmm. You know, our cells need to be properly balanced, and that is the true idea of health. You want everything in balance.
That's definitely a key there. We have to maintain that balance. Now, tell us about how we are able to know if we are dehydrated. What are the indicators?
Okay, so we talked about a couple. So we'll repeat them. Fatigue, for me as a doctor, I think that is a really underlooked symptom of dehydration, just that afternoon fatigue. Mm-hmm. We all think that, oh my God, my blood sugar's dropping, I need to go have a candy bar. Try hydrating first. You know, that might be the first sign of dehydration. So brain fog, fatigue. We talked about thirst, not the best way to think about a symptom of fatigue, because we've learned to override it or ignore it. And once you're there, it's already a little too late. Dry skin, headaches. We didn't talk about headaches. I can't tell you how many patients come into my office, and after that very first visit, when I just even talk to them about hydration, miraculously their headaches go away.
Wow.
So headaches. And then some like do-it-yourself at-home tests you can do. The best one is look at your urine. You want to look at the color. You want your urine color to be a very pale yellow. If it's bright orange or dark, then you're dehydrated. The only caveat to that is if you're taking B vitamins, if you're taking a supplement of B vitamins, that can falsely make your urine a very bright yellow or bright orange. So look at the color of your urine. You can pinch the top of your hand, pinch the skin at the top of your hand. Mm-hmm. If it stays tented up for even a second, you're probably a little dehydrated. And then the other sort of simple test you can do is, it's not really a test, but you know, we're meant to urinate every 2 or 3 hours throughout the day. So we're meant to get up and go to the bathroom every 2 or 3 hours. If you're not doing that, you're probably a little bit dehydrated.
Okay. So then, tell us about the ways to hydrate ourselves. The 8 glasses of water that we hear a lot about, does it still hold truth? I mean, is it true for everyone?
No, I don't think it's ever been true for everyone. We're all different shapes and sizes. We all do different activities. We live in different environments. Mm-hmm. We eat different foods. So the 8 glasses a day doesn't have any substance to it. If people need a number, I'll often say drink half your weight in ounces of water. So that may be a little bit better, because people are different weights and different sizes. But even so, we lay out a very simple 5-day plan in the book Quench, where people will know for themselves what they feel the best at. And with that, there's a couple of rules to follow. So one of the rules, my co-author is an anthropologist, and she studied how desert people hydrate. And one of the things that they do, and what we've started recommending to people, is front load your water. What that means is drink, we usually say 16 ounces or 2 glasses of water first thing in the morning, as soon as you get up in the morning. Mm. And we like to add a little bit of natural sea salt and a little maybe squeeze of lemon to give some electrolytes and to give some minerals. And that'll help get that water into your cells better. So front loading your water is one rule. Another rule is we really believe and love smoothies. Smoothies are basically blended fruits and vegetables. Mostly we like more vegetables than fruits, so there's not so much sugar. Mm-hmm. But you're blending them up, and that helps structure the water, which we haven't even talked about, this new phase of water. Mm. So a lot of the science, the new science behind this hydration is the discovery of a different phase of water. And this is sort of mind-blowing. Like we know that water exists as liquid, ice, and vapor. Now we know that there's another phase of water. In the book, we base it on Dr. Pollack's research, and we call it gel water or structured water. And that water is way more hydrating than regular water. It's the type of water that's found in our cells. It also happens to be the type of water that's found in plants. And so by eating more plants and natural fresh foods, we're hydrating more effectively than just drinking ever more water.
Yeah, I will ask you a question that you might find funny, but I think it's important that I ask because yes. A couple of my colleagues were asking, what about beer? What about liquor? It's liquid, right? Is it good enough for hydration?
No, it's not at all. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. It is actually hydrating. It's actually dehydrating because it dehydrates you. So alcohol is very dehydrating. You know, the book is really written for everybody, and we all, you know, imbibe on a little alcohol every now and then. So what I tell people is, if you're going to do that, then you should or replenish with in between an appropriate amount of water, like the same amount of water in between drinks or cocktails. So that's one rule you can follow.
Okay. So I'm getting more questions.
So
aqua water?
Aqua water? What, I don't know what that is.
Vodka.
Oh.
I'm sorry. They're just having fun with this. Now they're checking about the way they're drinking.
I love it. Vodka and water, is that what you're asking?
Vodka and water, yes.
So I would do it separately. You know, you want the same amount of water afterwards. It also slows you down. So drink whatever drink you're going to drink. If you're going to have vodka and water, or vodka and whatever mixer you want to put in it, have after you finish that, have a drink of just water. And then if you're going to have another, you know, that's really the best way to do it. But alcohol in itself, it makes your liver work harder to metabolize it. So that pulls fluid out of you. So, I would not hydrate with alcohol. It's absolutely wrong. But what I would love to talk about is coffee.
Yeah.
You know, because people always ask, is coffee, you know, the good news is that, anything under 4 cups a day is not dehydrating. It's not a diuretic. Caffeine does not become a diuretic until anything over 4 cups. So coffee, and we're learning every day something new about coffee, has lots of antioxidants in it. So I am good with coffee.
Okay. And I have another question for you from a listener. What about Gatorade?
So I have to be honest, Gatorade, I think, is way too much sugar. There's lots of, you know, fake colorings in there. I don't love Gatorade. In our book, we do give you a do-it-yourself, make yourself at home drink that uses a little honey or maple syrup and water. And it's very simple, and some salt. It's actually a very simple thing to do. I don't love Gatorade.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Because of the sugar.
Because of the sugar, because of the, all the fake stuff in there. We really want to start eating real food, natural stuff that we can make ourselves. That's the way to go.
Interesting. And is this true for most sports drink, would you say? Or is it, I mean, not that we're trying to go after the brand or anything, but because we see that a lot of athletes and even non-athletes drink sports drink. How is that?
I mean, I think there's probably some good ones out there. I haven't done a ton of research on them because it's so easy to make your own.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you always advocate the natural way anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think drinking those bright aqua blue waters can't be good for you. You know, you see that fake coloring in there, and it's like,
when you see what color?
It's like, what could be good about that?
Okay, it colors your tongue. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, exactly. All right, thank you. So I appreciate all the questions from our very interested listeners, and even people in our technicians also are really paying attention. So I think water is such so instrumental that it's everyone's. Really concerned.
It is. It's really, it is the baseline for our health. And I say it in the book too. It is this low-grade dehydration is the mother of all epidemics. Like, we're all suffering from it. And before you start on any kind of nutrition plan or diet, this is where you should start first. Make sure that you know how to properly hydrate.
Okay. All right. And we'll talk more about water, hydration, and some tips to stay healthy while hydrating. And when we come back with our guest, Dr. Dana Cohen. Now it's time for a break, but first, the news with Ruth Adisu.
Good evening. International Development Agency WaterAid warned on Monday that supplying clean water and toilets for all could take hundreds of years in countries like Eritrea and Namibia, unless governments step up funding to tackle the problem and its harmful effects on health. WaterAid says that harmful effects on water can affect nearly 850 million people and globally. This predicts that the world will miss a global goal of providing clean drinking water and adequate sanitation for everybody by 2030. The agency says a significant number of people in 80 countries are unlikely to have access to clean water, while poor sanitation is expected to persist in more than 100 nations. And finally, a new study suggests that dehydration can impair a person's ability to think clearly. Research conducted with athletes found that those who lost fluid equal to 2% of their weight took a hit to their cognitive ability. This level of dehydration, the researchers consider mild to moderate, to attention problems and impaired decision making. They say while the effects weren't huge to 2%, the effects increased while increasing dehydration. In particular, dehydration led to various consequences, including impairment in task requiring attention, motor coordination, grammatical reasoning, and mental math. The report was published in Medicine and Science, and that's a wrap-up of your latest health news. Back to you, Lenore.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing some of the best ways to stay hydrated and the effect of dehydration. Our guest expert is Dr. Dana Cohen. She is integrative medicine specialist and author of the book Quench. So tell us about the book. What I know you were mentioning some of the advice that you wrote in the book, but tell us more about what kind of information you are sharing with readers.
Okay, so we talked about the science behind water, which turns out to be very complicated. I had no idea before I started writing this. and then the other big sort of thing in the book that we talk about is the second half of hydration. Is, believe it or not, movement. A few years ago, there was a French surgeon that decided to put a camera under the skin of a living person and look at fascia. Fascia is this connective tissue that surrounds every organ, every cell in our body. And it's this network, this webbing, this beautiful webbing all over our body. And before he did this, we'd only ever seen fascia. It had only been looked at from like cadavers, dried and desiccated. So when he put the camera under the skin, we saw that fascia is actually a way that we move fluid around. And think about that. That's pretty mind-blowing, again, because we have only ever thought that fluid gets moved via the blood system or the lymph system. This is a completely new way of looking at how hydration gets pumped and moved around our body. So the idea that, even just sort of bobbing your head up and down, like saying yes, it's acting like a hydraulic pump. It's moving fluid in and out of your brain like a hydraulic pump. So movement is the other second part of hydration that's really important. And it doesn't have to be big, big movements, big exercise. We're talking even the smallest micro movements. So in the book, we give you lots of recipes on hydrating foods and smoothies and soups and popsicles and lots of tons, over 50 recipes in the book. And then we also give you recipes for what we call micro movements, these small little movements that we can do sitting at our desk, laying in our bed, even in the car when you're sitting at a light. So movement is super important as well for hydration.
Now, for those of us who live in a country like the United States where you have four seasons, you go from winter to summer to spring and fall, what can you give us an example of, first of all, between summer where it gets really hot and winter where it gets really cold, what season is the most dehydrating?
You know, that's a really good question. I think it depends, once again, on the person.
Okay.
So if you're somebody who never gets, you know, who sits in air conditioning all day because you hate the heat, mm-hmm. You know, that could be more dehydrating than being outside in the heat. It's hard to say.
Okay.
I do think, though, summertime, luckily, we are afforded lots of more fruits and vegetables to eat during that time that I think are more hydrating. In the book, we also lay out sort of seasonal eating. It's important to eat as seasonally as possible. Our bodies sort of expect it, and there's lots of research behind this. But
and that was my next question, yeah. Actually, about the season and what you eat. Can you give us an example of perhaps what you will suggest in summer as opposed to winter, for
yes.
example?
Yeah, so I actually would love to talk about a couple different foods today. Some mm-hmm. some are a little unusual, but fun and fun to talk about. So I want to talk about chia seeds, lychee fruit, prickly pear, which is a cactus, and aloe. Some of them may be a little surprising as to why they're hydrating. So let's start with chia seeds. Chia seeds you can get all year round. Chia seeds are, in the Mayan language, they mean strength. They're very hydrating. If you've ever put them in water, they form a gel. They plump up and form this gel. And you could throw them on your salads. You could throw them in your smoothies. You could just make chia pudding. There's recipes all over the internet for these delicious chia puddings. So they're really good for hydration. They help weight loss. They help with endurance. There's actually these desert tribes that have been shown to run 50-mile marathons using chia seeds and water alone. So chia seeds are the first. They're really a superfood. I recommend everybody throw some in their salad at least every day. They're great. They're inexpensive and they're really good for you.
Okay.
The second thing I would love to talk about are lychee fruit. Lychee is a tropical, very hydrating fruit from Southeast Asia, and we can find them now in the summertime. They are seasonal, so we find them all in really anywhere. I've seen them in my little bodega across the street from my apartment here in New York. So they're really high in vitamin C, lots of potassium, powerful antioxidants. They help keep your skin youthful. In fact, in China, these ancient Chinese princesses used to have their servants bring them chia seeds to keep their skin hydrated and youthful.
Wow.
Yeah. So lychee fruits, pop them open. You can just infuse water with them. You can also put them in your smoothies. There's a big pit inside, so you got to be careful of that. The problem is they're very high in sugar, so you can't have too much of them, and mm-hmm. they are very seasonal. So I recommend it in a supplement form called oligonol. And this supplement there's over 30 human clinical trials on it. It helps protect your skin from UV damage, ultraviolet damage. It helps decrease belly fat, very high in polyphenols, and it's a great supplement. I'll just often pop the capsules open and I'll throw that in my smoothie as well.
Okay.
The next thing I want to talk about are prickly pears. So anybody from the southwest part of the United States know about prickly pears. They're a cactus fruit. They are delicious. They're also very sugary, but delicious. You open them up, they're bright red color. And these prickly pears have been shown to help with, from a health standpoint, type 2 diabetes. They can help lower cholesterol. They help with inflammation. They also are really good. I bet your staff will want to know this. They're really good hangover cure.
Okay.
So prickly pears are great. You can throw them, infuse the water. You have to strain them though. There's seeds in them, and so you have to get a very fine strainer to use them. Mm-hmm. You can add them to jams or jellies. They're great.
Okay.
And the last thing I would love to talk about is aloe. I can be really quick. Aloe is, you know, we all know about using aloe topically on our skin. Like if you burn your skin, you pull off a leaf and just put the gel inside the aloe. Well, now aloe, there's tons of like aloe juices that you can get. You can take literally just open a piece of aloe, fillet it, take that gel out and eat it or put it in your smoothie. Aloe is really good for constipation and also helps lower blood sugar, helps with heartburn and digestion.
Okay, so let's talk about fruits like papaya and mango, maybe like perhaps like coconut, coconut water.
Coconut water is the perfect, you know, you asked about sort of do-it-yourself. I forgot to tell you this, do-it-yourself sports drinks. Coconut water is perfection, like really good electrolytes, really good for you. Any fruits and vegetables are over 80% water, and they hold that structured water. Yes, papaya and mango are fantastic. You know, the one thing you have to be a little careful about is too much fruit in a day, especially if you have blood sugar problems.
Okay.
You know, that's my only thing. But yes, I have, and especially during the season, a little papaya every day, or, you know, a few servings of fruit a day is fantastic.
You know what I found interesting, well, quote unquote interesting, is the fact that there is something as drinking too much water. And I was surprised, yeah. But it can be a problem when you drink too much water.
It absolutely can be a problem. And I have to tell you, the more, as I started seeing this, and I've been working on this book about 3.5 years, I think it's more common than we even think. Mm. I have a lot of patients that come in and I'll do their blood work, and I'll see that their sodium and their chloride electrolytes are very low in their blood. And I'll ask them, do you drink too much water? And they'll be like, oh my God, I drink so much water. And they're actually flushing out their electrolytes. So there is absolutely it's called polydipsia, where you can drink too much water purposely or due to certain diseases. But yes, you can, and it's a problem.
But how do you know how much water do you need? Does it depend on your body size, or how do you know?
So once again, we talked about some of the signs that you want to look for. So you want to look for fatigue. You want to see how you're feeling, how well you're moving, how easily you're moving. You want to follow some of those rules I talked about: a big glass of water in the morning. You want to check your urine. You want to make sure you're going to the bathroom every 2 or 3 hours during the day. You know, at night we don't have to worry about it. Our bodies make a hormone that stops us from urinating at night, most of us. So, but during the day we want to make sure we're getting up and urinating. You want to look at the color of your urine. Those are much better signs to look at and make sure you're properly hydrated.
Okay. So is this true for, because I was talking about too much water.
Yeah.
So at what point do you know that you have too much water?
It's actually a little harder to tell, mm-hmm. without having to do a blood test.
Okay.
So there are people who drink so much water. You want to make sure that you give yourself a little bit of electrolytes in those water. And you can do that by just using a pinch of sea salt, but natural salt, not like, you know, fake table salt. You want to use either rock salt or Himalayan pink salt, something like that. Every 2 or 3 glasses, you could put a little pinch of salt in your water. That'll help give you some of that electrolyte that you need.
Okay. And so we're going to wrap soon, but I just wanted you to let us know, for example, how we can find out more about all these nice tips that you gave us.
So the book is called Quench. It's available at anywhere books are sold, Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And my website is www.drdanacohen.com. My co-author's website is thehydrationfoundation.org. So you can get lots of information from those places.
Okay, and finally, you give us all these tips. Look for telltale signs if you are hydrated, and you will say, even chapped lips. I was surprised. Chapped lips is an indication. It's kind of obvious, but dry skin, constipation, feeling sleepy, and all of that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, great. Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank today's guest, Dr. Dana Cohen. She's an integrative medicine specialist and author of the book, Quench. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com and look for Health Chat. And also, keep the conversation going on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudo in Washington, with producer Daniel Brown, Ruth Adisu with the news, and our engineer, Alfredo. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
V. This is VOA News. I'm